Welcome to the podcast. Hee hee.
Hello and welcome to the Empire Strikes Botscast, episode 28, November 7th, 2013. We're going to talk about comics and stuff for the past couple of weeks, and yes, there will be spoilers, and so you should have read some of this stuff by now. Even amongst ourselves, sometimes there's a little spoiling going on, just saying.
True.
But anyway, so we weren't
We're all humans.
Anyways, I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
Different.
I know.
It was
different.
Did you feel that? That was different.
It's my name.
My name's Camille.
And Jules.
Yeah, it was weird. It was out of rotation.
Yeah, it was out of
order.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah. A couple crazy stuff being announced this past couple weeks.
Tidbits.
Like what?
You got
little
tidbits.
Well,
I woke up this morning to Daredevil.
Yeah, so like Netflix.
That's weird. That'd be odd to wake
yeah,
up
that
and
is,
be like, hey,
whoa.
Oh,
Daredevil.
Well,
hey, Daredevil.
Hey.
Netflix is doing live-action miniseries based on Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and a little side one with Defenders.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot.
Yeah. That
really?
Are all going to tie
Why
into
Netflix?
The...
Crossing my fingers for Doctor Strange. And,
yeah.
And also
they
affiliated with ABC
now.
As well.
Right.
It's ABC
okay.
affiliated
right.
as well.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So now we've got, you know, all the tie-ins to Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything, which November 19th...
Is the Thor
tie-in? Is the Thor 2 tie-in episode.
So next Tuesday?
Yeah.
So they're like
no.
already putting
no.
you on a deadline.
You
need to have seen
barely.
Thor
oh.
by this next week.
Right.
Or
you're not going to know. I'm glad they're doing that, but yeah.
I thought that was
kind of neat.
I thought that was what it was going to be as well. But
yeah, it's cool. It's all in the same universe.
Because like, there aren't a bajillion people that aren't going to go see that movie anyway.
Right?
I'm going to go see it anyway.
Yeah,
speaking of, we know exactly when we're going to see Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
December 18th, 2015. Whether it's ready or not, they say. That's when it's going to be released.
December 18th?
2015.
What's significant about that date? Anything? Is that when the first one launched?
No,
or
I don't know.
The first one was released? Or
no?
Maybe they're just like, hard deadline, let's do this!
Right.
Right
yeah.
before Christmas!
Come
right.
on!
And so the writing's kind of spot, because I think there's some conflict with JJ as
mm-hmm.
far as, like, you know, him working on other stuff.
Like,
so
a bajillion other things.
They're having to, like,
JJ
bounce
games.
Writers around and stuff. So I don't know. What,
really?
It's kind of weird.
I want all of JJ's attention, okay? This is
yeah,
Star,
mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
This is
exactly.
a big deal, JJ.
Right.
Get
yeah. on
board.
Off. Come on.
Do it.
Hmm.
what? We got Vertigo is releasing an iZombie TV show on CW.
Really?
What?
By the,
you
by
didn't
the,
tell me that.
Yeah.
That
by the same
sense,
guys that
DC.
Did Veronica Mars. Did you guys watch Veronica
wow.
Mars at all?
I did.
Yeah,
little,
I actually watched Veronica Mars.
I
next girlfriend that was religious about it.
Yeah,
I
well,
know.
It's those same
Ooh.
Creators.
Never watched
really?
It.
So
yeah, that's Smallville.
Is that the one with Keira Sedgwick?
No, that's the one with...
That's the closer. Yeah.
Oh.
Nope, didn't watch it.
Nope. But, yeah, so there's that. There's a...
She's the girl who was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. She was the girl that broke up with him.
How oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Belle?
Tiny.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
Belle?
Kristen
Belle.
Kristen Belle. Okay.
And who loves sloths. And every
oh.
time she sees him, she cries like on television.
Aww.
Oh.
Oh.
Doing a little Googling.
I have the interwebs.
So there's a web series in the YouTubes of Aquaman Teen Drama. Which is a very teen drama style TV show.
But so
but
is the main character
Aquaman.
Blonde, or does he just wear?
Yeah.
A
blonde? No, he's Aquaman.
Okay.
So yeah, he's blonde, and then like
well,
you know Mara, and then
because I looked at his hair and it just looked like a yellow wig.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's just dressed like Aquaman. Obviously, it's low budget and it's
not my Arthur Curry.
Comedic.
I wonder what their confessionals are going to be like.
Well, there's a there's a trailer on it, and it's I'm interested.
Why didn't
watch
we watch
it
before this?
Oh,
that's what we always
it's been
do.
On the Empire Strikes page.
Well,
yeah, that's where
sometimes
I watched it.
I
that's
see
where
stuff
I watched it.
And don't register it. But,
God.
Sorry.
Also,
I didn't see it either. So
Neil Gaiman is writing a Doctor Who novel.
Oh,
of course.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's written comics in the past.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Apparently there's an excerpt that you can read, and we put that up on the Empire Strikes
If that
as
takes
well.
In any way away from his Sandman, then put it on the back burner.
No. I think the Sandman is done. I think he's got it. We're just waiting for it to come
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah.
Color. Oh, and there's a new Miss Marvel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Ms.
Marvel.
Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And what all is it? She's Muslim and...
She's a teenager.
Teenager.
Her family lives in, like, Jersey.
Right.
Jersey.
Sorry, I'm really enjoying these no-bake cookies right now. Not to toot my own horn, but toot.
Food chasm.
She's a teenage girl. She's Muslim. Living in, I think, Jersey, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I thought all Marvel comic books were in New York.
Maybe. Well.
It's just right
that was a really bad joke. I'm sorry. That was a really bad joke.
So. But serious. Anyway. I don't know. It's just about her plight being a teenager. Also, you know, she's Muslim. And it's supposed to be a big deal that she's, like, of color.
Right.
All that business. So, anyway. She's a teenage girl.
I guess she, like, idolized Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Carol. Yeah,
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, you're right.
And so she calls herself Ms.
In loving memory, since she's not using it right now.
So I guess she's
upgraded to captain.
Right. And so I guess she's like just as powerful as Marvel or something.
Really?
I don't know.
Is she like the same? Is she the same like alien? Because remember, Ms. Marvel was like Kree as well. And that's why she was so valuable to collectors.
I don't know how she gets her power. I guess we'll have to read and find out.
Yeah, there was a big giant.
Oh, and then other news too. Into February, Mark Waid's taking Daredevil from print to online.
Oh,
so there's gonna be more online comics that I don't read that I need to get an iPad.
Yeah, because he's going exclusively on
at the end of February, ending the print run of Daredevil. It's gonna be strictly online, but Elektra will have an ongoing comic book in Marvel.
Really?
I wonder what their formula was behind that.
I don't know.
Mark Waid's been really powerful behind the online. You can go to like his website, and he has a comic book store, but also publishes really heavily online.
That's kind of crazy. I don't really understand the people that are like super duper behind
Marvel. Taking one of my favorite, favorite Marvel characters out of print.
I guess I just like books.
Yeah, well, I like to have, obviously, a physical copy. It's, you know, collectible thing, and, like, actually, if I'm going to spend money on something, I'd like to be able to have it. And digitally,
I see iPad screens break.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what happens when you're gone? Where does all your digital content go? Well, then you've never really owned it this entire time.
So yeah.
It's
kinda,
you just paid to have access to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, I mean, even, like, Brian K. Vaughan, they have some series that are digital only, like Private Eye, that he does with Marcus Martin. But he still writes Saga and
online
supports both. I think there's room for both, you know, obviously the ease of use of the digital.
But that's not Hero, though. They're taking one of my favorite Hero books, and I know guys have been collecting Daredevil since they were, like...
Yeah, especially something that's established.
Yeah,
like
something like Daredevil I don't agree with. But,
it'll come back.
I'm sure.
They'll do it for a month or two and like, this didn't work.
Yeah.
Put it back in print.
And then there's going to be an X-File crossovers with all the different IDW books as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. What was
X-Files, Mars Attacks, X-Files, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Is that what... What's Army of Darkness on?
Dark Horse?
Dynamite.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Other licensed stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah, but, lots of crossovers with that.
Yeah, and I mean, even the... Well, I guess we'll talk about the Ash one. I mean,
yeah, anyway,
they're great. Well, let's get into it. So we got some DC books here. Annuals have been coming out, obviously, over the past couple months.
I mean, they're kind of like taxes. So. You just have to have them.
They're nice because they're one-shot stories and it's like a hefty book, you know, so it's, you get more, you know, of a character and...
But this Swamp Thing was one of the only really good ones other than the Green
Lantern.
You know,
it's funny because I feel so giddy that really all of the really good stuff that's been coming out on DC has been like Animal Man and Swamp Thing, you know, and it's like, yes, eat that, Batman. But, but yeah, this was... Basically letting him explore and learn his powers that he now has since this whole New 52 reboot and everything, and really, like, showing what he can do, you know. He's tied to the green, which is all, every plant and, he has access to be all of that, and even, like, his consciousness being, like, several different parts, and just have power over all of it. He can do anything with it.
But of course...
All of it.
it's crazy to think that with that Rot World crossover now in Animal Man, like you're saying, like the Red's trying to take over. It's funny that they kind of like prophesied that.
Yeah. Kind of yeah. It's
been around long enough to.
But there's rival avatars. So like Cedar now is like, he was the one chosen as next in line, but they kind of keep a couple of guys going just so that they can. What is like a proof of strength, you know, who's the alpha avatar or something like that.
That's
yeah.
Silly. Mm.
But,
just get along and be cool.
You know, and
there'll be avatars to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a parliament, obviously, with the parliament is like
of
the head.
Like the consciousness of the
right.
past.
And it's pretty much set up as a parliament. There's like courts and, you know, and all this other stuff that they go through, and that they constantly have these avatars and they don't care who it is, and they'll talk you up saying,
well,
you know,
there's just been
so many of them, though.
So
you're the one, you know, or whatever, just to get you to do it.
It's not as exclusive.
It just seems like to me, if you're like controlling all of everything ever, always, forever.
Yeah.
Like, it should be a democracy.
You would think.
Well,
they all have
really
historically, parliaments have fallen.
Yeah.
Well, not historically. Sorry, Britain. You guys stay strong. You go, UK.
But yeah,
but
it has its own separate, you know, government, really. And
I guess that it would be kind of crazy
if
it were a democracy.
I mean, and you live, it's forever.
Yeah.
You know. I
it's
mean,
forever and ever.
They're plants.
True. That is
plant.
True. Yeah.
But he actually meets the Swamp Thing before him, the one that was told he was Alec Holland the entire time. And that was kind of neat. He
was
Alec
Holland's gone, though, right?
He was actually.
Well, Alec Holland, the physical Alec Holland is gone.
Okay.
His true consciousness is in this
Swamp Thing.
Right, okay.
But the other dude was just a Swamp Thing.
Yeah, he was given the memories and everything of Alec Holland.
So he thought he was Alec Holland for a long
time
before they. I pay attention when you say things, by the way. I find
it's all crazy stuff. Swamp Thing rules. I just gotta say that. Boom, Swamp Thing rules.
Do you have the television show on DVD?
Oh, man, I wish. That stuff is horrendous. It's horrible, but yeah, I'd watch it. Aquaman, we had the last Geoff Johns.
I've been saying that a little too much. Like, ever since we started this podcast, like,
there's been
like,
a lot of
Geoff
last Geoff
Johns.
Last Geoff Johns.
But it left it pretty wide open, but you were right.
Well,
though.
Yeah,
it's
in
the
middle
of
an arc.
Story. Yeah.
So he's just leaving it to, hey guys,
what's he
you
going in pursuit?
Oh, he's got a bunch of stuff going on.
I think he's trying to tie up Forever Evil stuff, and then the member of Batman Earth 1, like his telling of Batman, I think he's on schedule to do Volume 2 as well.
Right
on. That's kind of, you know, just leave everything else, make time for Batman.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool, though, because you kind of learn more about Arthur Curry and how his dad kind of meets his mom.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it's
nice.
Kind of sweet, because he's, I guess there's a huge storm coming, and he's the guy that works at the lighthouse, and it's not working, and there's a huge storm coming, and there's a ship out there that's getting ready to go in the eye of the storm. So he goes out there and tries to warn them. Consequently, he ends up, like, getting an anchor tied around him. He's pretty much toast until a beautiful mermaid
comes. Aww. Saved. There she is.
Not Ariel, but, I mean, I still would be very thankful.
Aww.
In that situation.
Do you think she was all like, oh.
And then you find out that
no.
Volko is still a thing.
Yeah. So he wakes up and, like, Volko had taken him out to, like, what, Antarctica or something.
Right, because
right?
that's the only place he was safe.
Right, so they're taking him down to, I guess, the one true kings of Atlantis, the Sea King's, like, throne, which is, like, in ice or whatever. And he's like, dude, you gotta get on the chair. And Arthur's like, dude, I don't want to get on the chair. And he's like,
well,
dude, you gotta get on the chair if you want
to
know everything.
See, yeah.
And so he hops on the chair, and then he gets swallowed up by ice. And
that's tricky.
But then he's told what all happened. And it basically turns out that, you know, the Sea King was trying to unite everybody, like the Desert Landers and all this jazz. But, like, his brother didn't want it to happen because he didn't want to water down the Atlantean blood or anything. And so they rebelled against him, fought this big war, outcast him, and then he comes back with, like, all the helmet, the staff, the whole gear, all this crazy Atlantean gear. And he's the reason Atlantis sank, because he destroyed everything, battling all them, and sank Atlantis.
No, cool. Mm. Way to go in your face.
Right, that's how Atlantis sinks.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Which would make me think that people would know where it was if it was, like, an established.
Right? Yeah.
But
But it's DC. It doesn't matter.
There's not manuscripts.
We don't need details. We don't need details.
So basically, Arthur finds out his ancestors are his villains in Aquaman, so he's kind of conflicted because his were the ones kind of sinking Atlantis, not saving it. But if you remember last time, I guess his powers were so worn out from raising the monster
right.
from the trench.
Yeah, which was...
And so he wakes up like 6 months later, and that's why he's Aquabeard.
Right. Aquabeard!
Aquabeard! But, the sweet Aquabeard!
It sounds like something you put on your face to make a beard grow.
Right.
Aquavelva!
So I guess Jonathan Hayes is taking over after this, right?
Is it Jeff Parker?
Jeff Parker. Okay, yeah, Jeff Parker's taking over for me.
Jeff Parker.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Sandman Overture came out last week.
Yes, it did. It
sounds like a lot of people are happy about that.
Man, it's cool because it's set before all the other Sandman stuff. So it's a prequel too. So you can jump in and start from there. But obviously you're going to see some stuff that... I would just say you can start from here.
That's what I'm doing.
But I've never read a Sandman.
I say just do it. Just read it because it's J.H. Williams. All the art.
They're in like kind of sifting in between dreams in it, and he makes dreams look so beautiful.
Yeah,
he makes me want to dream more.
And there's even the, there's this paneling that he does with like this weird kind of crosshatch stuff, and he's got like words buried within the grain.
Oh, I never even noticed that. But that's read how along it is for it. EP, I think. Too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's all this hidden text and such.
What do you need a cryptograph?
Right.
Figure it all out. But show them the, and then there's
this
one,
part in the story as you're kind of learning more about Morpheus.
Yeah.
You kind of get...
What, the four page?
Yes.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah. And it basically shows... Yeah, so there's this part where he goes and he like meets... He's being called and he doesn't know why.
Right.
And then he arrives in this place and it's all these different versions of himself.
So is Morpheus...
Morpheus was the king of dreams, right?
Yes.
I guess.
Look at that crazy stuff.
Is that one in the same?
But it's all different variations. Like, even done in different artwork and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. But is... Okay, guys.
Yo.
So is Morpheus Sandman the same person?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I never read, like, other than, like, the first two books of Sandman. It was a long time ago, so I don't remember a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
I just remember kind of ideas. Because it's huge. I mean, there's a lot to it. And it's Neil Gaiman.
Right.
And so it's just intense.
Yeah.
But, like I say, reading this, I mean, there were some things that you know, obviously were mentioned in earlier books and... Just overall, it's just deep, deep stuff. Here,
it did make me look up, what was that dude's name? The super child serial killer.
Oh.
The French
ruler. Yeah.
Yeah, when, is it, I don't even know, dude. Gilles de Ross. Something like that. Gilles de Ross.
Gilles de Ross. Oh, with the three, with the mouth eyes.
Yeah, well, this is him talking. And whenever he was all like, so you're saying I can inspire Gilles de, whatever the dude's name is, the French dude, but I can't take a razor to the sweet children or whatever. So it was like, what the, what is that about?
Right?
Let me just Google this person here to see what they are referring to.
Oh, yeah. And
Morpheus, otherwise known as the, I didn't know how exactly to say it.
Okay.
But I looked it up. Dream, otherwise known as Morpheus, is the immortal anthropomorphic personification of dreams.
Right.
So he's the Sandman.
Yeah.
So he is the... In this story.
But it gets confusing because there's an old, like, Golden Age here that's, like, Jack Kirby just out that is technically that, the Sandman.
Well, yeah.
Right. And
but
he
it's
would
not.
Travel around.
And there's a JSA villain.
And it's referenced in
the comic
the Sandman
itself, right.
series.
Demon Knights makes appearances.
Right. So it, like, explains why there was a superhero Sandman and stuff. But just overall, this book
totally
is,
went to a different direction. Where I thought it was going. Like,
it is deep stuff, but it's beautiful words. There's a lot of words.
It's bimonthly, so it gives you a lot to chew on.
Yeah.
I like how poetic it is, though, even if you don't even understand what's going on.
And that's why I never read Sandman.
But it's it is bi-monthly, but there's a series in between. So it's like you get issue one, and then the next month is like an issue one special edition with like the original art layouts and like
behind the scenes. I'm going to buy it either way.
Basically like the director's cut stuff they have been doing. And then the next month will be issue two, and then another special edition and so forth and so on.
Gotta milk that money.
But it's six issues, so really overall you're going to be buying 12. But... yeah, it is a great start.
So that's how you stretch a miniseries. That's impressive.
That's how you stretch out somebody's name that doesn't make a lot of comic books.
Marvel stuff. So who's been reading Infinity?
Sigh.
Not I.
Not you.
Gave up.
Oh, am I still the only one?
I've been reading Infinity.
I haven't.
And it's...
it didn't make any sense.
Part 5 didn't really go anywhere.
No. The continuing theme through Infinity.
No, there was stuff that happened. Like, with the last issue, like, Thor totally killed old dude whenever he
showing the...
Now you're dead. Kajink.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of good movings that happened. But this one was just kind of... They were kind of celebrating because of... you know, what Thor did.
Right, it was like a small victory while they're still... But Thanos actually kind of, like, tied in, and you got to figure out what happened after...
Right, because he's got Black Bolt all...
Atlan, yeah.
All sealed up now.
So, in a fight, we now know that Black Bolt cannot take down Thanos one-on-one. He's not...
Even with his masterful yell.
Right. With his beautiful, sparrow-like voice.
No.
No.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
Even if he was, like, cussing at you. Even if he wasn't just like, no. If he was like, no, you mother...
But yeah, really other than that, I like that there was a lot more Thanos in this book.
Right, because it's kind of like tying it together, because you also see Black Panther.
Right, yeah, because they're in Wakanda trying to find his son, who is now like, you know...
Is that his son from Storm?
No. No, this is Thane.
His name's Thane, though.
And, basically, whenever when Black Bolt blew up the bomb, it released all the Inhuman, you know, they all switched or whatever. He turned into, like, Fire Beast guy. And now, one of Thanos' crew, like his, you know, his cohorts, is sneaking off on his own and basically kind of, he didn't sneak off on his own, he was going to capture him and, like, put him in this restrictive suit to where... he can't hurt them. You know, he has to, like, physically touch somebody or whatever to set them on fire. Hmm. And now giving him to Thanos. And so now that he has his son...
Do you think Thane's going to kill Thanos?
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know.
Overcome the sins of the father.
Obviously, with this being book 5, 6 has to be a battle between Thane and Thanos, which should be awesome.
And Thane is the Black Panther son?
No, Thane is Thanos' son. Oh. Yeah, but they're all, like, Wakanda.
New Avengers hid him from his father, because they know he was going to be coming for him anyway.
But the Avengers title, they're still out in space messing with all that stuff.
Which is funny, because here's how Marvel does it. So, boom, Collector's getting ready to come, Avengers are going to go to space, confront them, so they don't come to Earth and destroy us, right? After that happens, you get the Hunt, which is all the Avengers schools that are like, we're going to go, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four Academy, decide they want to go fight or whatever. And so then they're like, oh, we'll just have a competition. Whose school's better? Oh, wait, the Avengers are gone. We need to actually protect the world.
Right.
That's how you get your crossover to just, like, cross
so that stuff,
40 books instead.
No, forget that. The main story arc is Avengers, Infinity, New Avengers.
But...
that's it.
You read the Guardians of the Galaxy Infinity title.
I did. And it didn't really... I mean, yeah, they're in the area of what's going on, you know, and they're having their own little battles, but we're still trying to figure out this whole, like, teamwork thing with Angela coming into play. But really what sets this one off is that it's all done by Frank Avila. So it's beautiful.
It's pretty beautiful.
It's awesome artwork.
Yeah, I still don't know what's going on, though.
Didn't you start reading Guardians when it came out, though?
No, I read Guardians. I'm in Infinity.
In general. But yeah, they have some pretty sweet actions. They, like, Gamora doesn't want to really be a part. She thinks that they should go off and sneak around to try to take on Thanos. And
she doesn't like her dad that much. She doesn't
like that. And then Star-Lord and everybody else with Rocket want
to
go.
I think they're justified.
I don't know what to say to that, because that's obviously you would.
But everybody else basically just wants to go, like, in this little path that they've found, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways, both same means to the end. No big whoop. But what's fun is now we see like this quippy humor between Rocket and Peter Quill and Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's becoming like more chemistry. But because you know in the movie, obviously they hired Chris Pratt to play Guardians of the Galaxy, which is going to be, you know, is going to be comedic or whatever. Aww. But they haven't really been showing that.
What's he from?
Parks and Recreation.
That's why I don't know.
But really, up until this point, he's been kind of the serious kid.
Your house to watch.
Okay.
But I like that they're loosening up on him. And so it's fun. But yeah, then they find out that...
So how did it tie into Infinity?
They are battling this station that's overtaken by these... there's like three different alien races.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what all different ones, but they all basically all work with Thanos in there.
And then Angela comes.
Yeah, Angela comes and helps them out. And then next issue, we see them, looks like they might be taking on Thanos because of this cover. I'm excited for that. But Guardians has been really good now. You should read it. Mm-hmm. It's not Pacelli. Sarah Pacelli was on it. And that's really what sold me early on was her artwork. And man, I'd like to see Frank Villa do a lot more, too.
He can't do everything, though. He
but it'd be so everything. Good. It'd be so good. Five Ghost 6 came out.
So is that a one-shot, or is it just six?
Yeah, basically, they did the first five.
Well, they're supposed to be five of five, right?
Right.
Or one of five.
Yeah, a little five-issue miniseries. And then it did so well, they got picked up to go
ongoing.
Mm-hmm. And so while they're putting the story together and everything, they're basically just put out this one-shot. So you don't have to have read, you know, but it's a shining example of what the series is about. So it's kind of neat. It stands on its own.
And there's also guest artists, but the original artist is coming back.
He is coming back after, he was taking
Mr. Mooneyham.
But it's him on this adventure to find the Masamune sword, which is fabled sword of the twins' power, made a deal, they're sucked into a sword. And he has, of course, this lady friend that lives out there.
That
they've trained with or whatever. She turns out to have tricked him in taking...
Of course.
Yeah.
Delilah.
Yeah, to this she-devil who has a dreamstone stuck in her forehead. Yeah, because she was promised some power. And battle ensues. Now, in this book, like, if you read the first five, the action sequences... really were kind of a letdown. Overall, the story was awesome. The idea was great and everything, but there wasn't a whole lot of action. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the trials section, it was like a page for each one. Yeah.
But the samurai fight was good, though. We cannot take away from that final.
Because the samurai fight was the epic cliche. One slice. So it's still...
Right.
This
is a lot more drawn out. It seemed like, you know, it was edited then for some reason to keep it in five issues. You know, it could have gone more. Who knows? Just page-wise or whatever. But the action in this one was a lot better as far as more paneling and more, you know, battling, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got spreading over pages other than, you know, instead of panels. So it's pretty nice. And then big spread of him in samurai mode. Slicing up the fools. But... yeah, overall, you know, obviously.
That's a cool panel.
Where
he pops out the dreamstone of the...
yeah, because he's battling the witch, and she breaks the sword.
Of course.
Which frees the spirits. And so he has, like, this broken hilt. And so he just, like, shoves it through the back of her head and knocks the dreamstone out of her forehead. Bonk. But then, after all that, we see more of this... from what we'd seen in, like, issue 4 or 5 of this conspiracy against Fabian Gray.
Right, there's
it's just one page, you know, at the end, so it's, there's still, you know, this, nothing said as to who they are or anything like that.
They're coming back for his dreams.
Right, so they're hunting him down. We don't know who they are yet, though. But yay, it's good. It's been a while. It was on a break as they did the trade and everything, so I like it. Saga.
Issue 15.
Is it really?
Wow. Yeah.
So it's been going on for longer than a year now.
And of course, boom, first panel, great.
Of course, yeah. Who was
it? Hooks you in.
Yeah, get this dragon off my runway.
No, Jules, do you want to read it?
No.
You
can read it. Go ahead.
Okay, so what was the first?
Oh, yeah, it's here.
Okay, literally, you open up Saga, and the first words you hear are, well, in your head, are, "When one of you overgrown condom failures kindly remove the deadly fucking dragon from my runway." This woman has just slaughtered a dragon.
Did you read it? Yeah, I did.
This is great. And apparently, like, the reporters are lovers?
Is that what you got?
Is that what you got?
Definitely.
Man, Charlie was all about that conspiracy. But
I thought that too.
Yeah, they are. Because
he called him honey, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't mean anything, but they definitely
are. It crossed my mind, but it didn't cross my mind.
Right. It was subtle enough that you're just like, whatever.
It's like, maybe, but like, maybe not. Wasn't any strong evidence, but it did kind of seem like that at first.
Yeah. We get more of a family element now with them all sitting around playing games. And
did you guys get it when you saw that she was doing laundry that it felt like they'd been there for months?
Yeah.
Until they said 5 days.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's been a while.
It's like they matched
probably felt like months, right, considering they've been running
But
like this whole time.
I love how, you know, Heist and her mom are getting, you know, getting along so well. Mm-hmm. They're like teaming up in the game and...
Heist.
The last name.
I'm sorry.
And you can tell they're getting.
I was like that too when he said it, and then I realized what he was talking about.
Okay. Yeah, they're getting.
And I love at the end, it's like, next we wrestle.
Right.
Yeah.
And they trick them into it because, like, part of the game is to make the other people, lose their frame of thought or something like that.
Oh, no.
What is it called?
Well, the last part of the
nunchun
game.
Nunchun, nun.
Yeah,
now means now.
This is now. Now is now. Yeah, the last part of the game. To win the game. The very end, you have to psych out the other team.
Right. And so they,
So this entire time, they're like, just playing a fun, you know, just fun family game or whatever. And then, like, from arm wrestling, the ladies have to arm wrestle each other, which, you know, like, breaks the ice, and they're just kind of joking around and stuff. And so now the next part is the psych out.
But,
totally tricked.
Yeah.
Love it.
Because what was it
totally
she was telling
her? Totally turn her around. The whole, she tells her that basically Alana's been, Alana's, I guess.
Yeah,
I
said Alana.
Alana.
That's
Alana.
Alana.
Yeah.
Alana, okay. So she's been like just, you know, pretending to be like little housewife.
Yeah.
This whole entire 5 days, you know, living in domestic bliss and how a new mother's place is to be out in the workforce. And she's like, well, how am I supposed to do that? You know,
they're trying to motivate
them. Trying to get their goat. So, but it was twofold.
The motivation.
It's twofold, you know, because like from a parent's perspective, it's like, get their goat.
Yeah.
But now the wheels are spinning.
Yeah.
So now they're thinking, actually, I do.
Whenever they
see
you turn the game into a
it's totally your
them,
idea.
Like, growing up. And
right.
So was that
they both
was the ulterior motive? That was the game?
Yeah, that was them psyching them out.
Because they're psyching each other out. I was kind of confused.
Well, I think that it just, Marco just jumped on the bandwagon because he thought they were actually having, because Marco's got a good heart. And
he thought
we're actually having a conversation about our family.
He took it seriously.
Yeah.
Actually, we need to do this. And then in the end, Heist and the mom were like,
we really didn't need to do that.
We don't need to.
They were like, we won the game also.
Oh, haha, funny. I just now got that. Totally did not get that when I read this. That whole underlying meaning totally did. I did not.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, what does the fox say? There's so many things that the fox can say.
Yeah. So, in the antithesis of this, we have Will, who still broke down with Gwendolyn and
Sophie,
and he calls like a repair crew to come fix the ship and everything. Well, apparently, the planet they're living on is, I don't get it. Okay. So they're eating the fruit from the land, right?
Yeah.
And apparently there's this consciousness that
makes
them hallucinate, tricking them to...
They think it might be
like a
toxin.
It was like a heroin or something.
They call it
heroin.
Because it's supposed to be so overwhelming, that's why it like gets into your thoughts and brings out your deepest desires.
Because I guess one of the repair crew had eaten some fruit.
And then had some problems.
A kebab.
Yeah, and then, like, the entire time that he was just, like, in a fuss trying to get back. Like, he wanted to go
back. They both wanted to go back to the...
Right,
yeah,
and so apparently it's trying to keep him there, and so obviously Will's been seeing Stock a lot, who has been trying to convince
his girlfriend
him to,
that just died.
Yeah, yeah, convince him to just hang out with Gwendolyn and stay, and then...
Sophie saw her mom.
Right, And so it's...
So,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, but it will do anything to keep them. I don't know if it lives off of them in some way, or maybe it just likes company, because
I don't understand. I don't think it was ever really...
They didn't got that far. So that makes sense then, now if you think back. I just had this epiphany. So Gwendolyn didn't eat anything from the planet.
No, it didn't. Yeah, I don't think she ate anything. It tells you,
because she always wants to leave.
Right.
If she had eaten something,
she wants to go find Marco.
Yeah, but she wants to leave, so I'm saying that it's not inside her trying to stay.
She hasn't been eating, that's true.
That makes sense. Okay.
But
well,
now,
I have to read this again, because I totally missed everything.
Right. Well, so now that...
And I know why.
The repairman, you know, he calls Marco to tell him this, you know, and
the
I guess because...
He calls the will
to tell him, you know, about the situation. And I guess the consciousness heard that because
so
it had tricked Sophie to go back in and stop him from basically trying to purge.
Not to argue with you or anything.
What?
But the reason that she did that is because he said they were going to leave the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we just said.
That's what he just said.
Oh, man.
That's exactly what we just said.
I thought you were saying that it was because...
I'm sorry, Neil. I was like, oh, she's got a point.
I thought you said it was because he was talking to the guy.
That's what I'm saying. He overheard him saying that, and so now he's wanting to leave. And so it kind of sent
because
her...
They had a whole conversation, him and Gwendolyn, about how they were going to leave beforehand.
Yeah, and so it's using Sophie... take out Will.
So they stay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she ends up stabbing him in the neck, and the last page we get is him down. That's crazy.
He's so nice.
Yeah. There's this...
Whenever Marco and...
Alana are on the beach.
Learning to love again.
Yeah.
Just had a baby and are still, like, kind of... I don't know.
She's using physical love as a distraction.
According to Marco, I think that's so funny. I totally showed one of my friends at work this panel. I was like, dude, look at this. And I made her read. I was like, okay, so he said this, and then she said that, and then he said this, and then she said that, and then she was all like, I don't get guys. She's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's super funny.
Oh, I thought the funniest part was... She's like,
is she about to pray?
No, she is not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
It was good. It was a good book.
And on that note, you guys want to talk about Sex Criminals?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be so PG with Saga, but there's a book called Sex Criminals we haven't talked about on this podcast.
Same.
Second issue.
Have we not? We didn't even talk about the first one, did we?
We did,
but it kind of got edited.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Sex Criminals is crazy, and this second one
just proves it more and more.
I love this, because in the previously, like, that is what's really hard not to do when you talk about comics.
Right, yeah, it goes on and on and on and on. It's like detail, and then it cuts off.
But I love
it doesn't finish.
It is like...
Yeah, and
he's like, why don't black, like how the Sandman talks? And it came out that week.
Yeah. He says, on page 8, we see the world is all weird colors and stuff. But now we get the story from his perspective, how he learned about his little job. Yeah.
This guy. John and Susie.
And it's really... I mean,
Matt Fraction did the dialogue so well. It's the guy's turn to talk about his sexual experience, and it's just so spare.
Right.
He gives no information whatsoever. He's like, well, I was young-ish, and I don't know. Well,
yeah, so as he's explaining
that's
it,
exactly
he's like
what
seeing these pictures and about this, how he used to go to that. Well, once he discovered his talent, you know, obviously he practiced it to refine it. And eventually sneak off into adult video stores, and it became his own personal library and such.
So was he stealing from the stores as well?
Yeah.
In freeze time?
I got the impression he was borrowing it. Until he would take them back.
He got caught.
Yeah.
And then,
well, apparently,
but the reason why he got caught was hilarious.
Yeah. Cause,
and see, I don't think I got why he got caught. So is it if he
saw
if he gets aroused
the
again,
of his dreams.
So if he gets aroused again after the first time.
Right.
Like
whenever
unfreezes time.
Right. And it basically starts the cycle back over again. So as long as he's fine and doesn't want to do it again.
Okay, I get it.
He's okay.
So I did
right. It just wear off gradually. But mm-hmm. yeah, he's in the video store during one of his time stops and
he
sees a video. But it was like the first girl that he had seen in like a Playboy or something like
well,
that.
The picture that he found in the forest.
Right. Yeah. And then
it was his guilty pleasure.
And so he gets excited again and then boom, now there's this little kid holding up some porn in the middle of a video store.
Without his pants, with
yeah.
boxers on.
And I love that he dresses up his kiss as
yeah.
a kid.
My favorite part was when he was, I guess when he unfroze time as in his
refractory
period.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That wasn't what I was going for,
yeah.
but that worked. And the whole thing was,
so
to anyone there looking, like, it looked like an underage kid with his boxers and a hard-on just magically appeared in a porno store. Cue the Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
And I love, and then they see the,
like,
you know,
the pass, like all this Monopoly-style
pass. What's going on.
In the video booths. I thought that was an interesting play on words.
Yeah.
So many different
words. It was hilarious.
Because I could just see Benny Hill running around.
But it's cool because now that he's told her, you know, they become closer as
mm-hmm.
well. You know, obviously.
Yeah,
just
I thought it was cute,
like,
when they were walking and holding hands.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I love that his guilty pleasure is like, Miss Cocaine.
Right.
Miss Cocaine.
And then we see more.
Cocaine.
Oh, yeah. We see more of the original story where they started off in the beginning where they were in the bank
mm-hmm.
doing all this stuff. And then there's this secret team of white people. There's some white
suits. I guess can
glowing people.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Because
yeah.
that kind of sounds.
Yeah,
that
is.
Because they're obviously something.
Yeah.
glowing.
It's the whiteies.
There's
the
an angelic.
People.
There's an
angelic yeah,
glow
there we go.
About them.
Yes.
But they're not white people.
Right.
Scary white people.
So we see them back at the bank and they're getting dollars and monies and stuff. And
getting fat stacks.
Yeah.
And the whole time she's like, can we just go? Can we please just
go?
Can we
just go? Yeah.
This is getting
There's definitely a personality difference. So there's this, you know, is it really going to work out between them?
Well, yeah, because A, she's a chick and he's a dude. So there's obviously going to be a, because she's like, well, it would be awesome to have cajillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Can we please just not get caught doing this?
Right.
The thing for him that's most exciting about that he can stop time
yeah.
is that he can get away with stuff.
Right.
So,
yeah.
yeah.
That's what he gets out of it.
Yeah.
I thought she said something, but I guess not.
She
so
said a
cute.
Lot of stuff. But yeah, the art in it is great because.
The art is nice.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean.
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's, but it's pretty still.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, did you know?
I
read
not
all of the letters last night after
yeah.
I reread it.
Yes.
Yeah, the letters page. Yeah, it's fun.
I didn't read that part. I didn't
really?
Turn the page, apparently.
I didn't either. The artist even draws it for you. That's the
What's
artist.
Happening
yeah,
here?
It's great.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll
Fraction.
Have to.
He got
yeah.
his nipple pierced at
yeah.
the grand opening. I mean, not the grand.
Yeah.
Is that Matt Fraction?
Yeah, that's him right there.
Doesn't
yeah.
he look a little bit like John,
it
maybe?
It does look like Matt Fraction.
But yeah, he got his
Who
nipples pierced.
Who's that lady over his shoulder, like, do it?
I don't know. Maybe Kelly Sue?
That's
oh,
not.
No, I can't. I don't even see. I can't see how this.
What?
But,
you do not.
Oh,
Kelly
yeah,
Sue
no,
drops it. There is no Kelly Sue.
I'm not saying that. That's probably not.
So, Rocketeer. Do you read Rocketeer?
Oh, I read Rocketeer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And?
I liked it.
It's
I was
good.
Still a fan.
It's so good.
But, I mean.
There's a bit of a risque panel set in that one as well.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so, but
it's
I didn't.
All we read
guys.
Are the dirty comics, guys.
I damn, sorry, kid. Sorry. But yeah, because who? What?
So Rocketeer's chatting up the spirits lady because
right.
his lady is a whore bag. I'm just
right.
gonna throw it out there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Betty is not a nice girl.
You don't
yeah,
like
she's
hurting
Cliff's
no,
heart.
She wants to be all famous and stuff, and that's cool.
But
she,
I mean,
she's paying him lip service, and that is not nice because he's a genuinely nice, handsome
maybe
guy.
I just think, maybe I just think of that as like
he's
reminiscent from the time. I don't know.
No, it's just her doing what's best for
but
her.
But I love how the entire time it's all just like a fight for like television over the airwaves. Like that's
yeah,
kind of like
it's
the
like
main,
some
like,
secret radio style television tube thing. It's like some secret. telecommunication between...
It's a secret television tube.
Trask and who and this mysterious foe.
And they're trying to make sure that it can't be like kind of like, not free domain, but can't be available. They're trying to privatize it. And
right.
That's why the guy himself dies. It's because right. they're trying to cover their tracks because he's getting ready to, I guess, speak at the panel.
Right. That's what, yeah. And so Betty finds him. She stumbles across him. Leads on to this whole investigation.
So is this a new story or is this a continuing story from the first one?
Yeah, it's continuing from the first one. But it's been a while. There's a point where, you know, Spirit's Lady and Cliff, the Rocketeer, are like hanging out in this waiting room or whatever, and they're just talking buddy-buddy, and then she puts her hand on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And then they both kind of peer down. Legion leave, maybe Cliff got a little too excited whenever she touched him. I don't know.
It's
so...
The chemistry between the two different couples in this book.
It's weird because, yeah, it's almost like, you know, they obviously don't like their partner.
And obviously Trask senses goons and so the spirit and Rocketeer, Rocketeer grabs the spirit and takes him to the air.
Yeah, so they can battle it out with the
airport. Right, of course, it's just...
Awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then you find out, of course, that...
Since Betty wants to be an actress...
She's getting ready.
Trask.
She goes to an audition.
Trask. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Rocketeer and Spirit, and it's called Pulp Friction. So maybe we're not too out of the ballpark.
Oh, maybe not. Okay, I don't feel bad because I really kind of felt bad for a second. I was like, maybe my mind is just in the gutter. I don't know.
It's Rocketeer Spirit. It's in that same vein. Yeah, it's just fun. I dig it.
So is the spirit like Batman? I can't remember.
He's dead. He died and came back to life.
Right. And he's a detective. And
he's more like resurrected Dick Tracy.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where
he goes. Yeah. Yeah.
And he has, I think it's implied that he has this like, alarming like quality of like charm.
Like, right.
He's like the
Deadman meets Dick Tracy.
Deadman's not charming though. Yeah. Austin Brand's
like,
kind of a...
Well, he was a ladies' man when he was alive. But...
Which one's the one that's dead that has to go... into other people's bodies.
That's Deadman.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because he's not charming. He's just a loud mouth. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But either way, they're pretty deadly.
Oh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
A lot of controversy over the...
Yeah. What'd you think? Did you read it?
I did read pretty
You deadly. Really liked it then, didn't you? That's right. You said you...
It wasn't that I liked it.
I think we did talk about this last time around.
We did, but I don't know. Did it post?
But it's okay. Yeah, we did.
But yeah, so you, I want to hear Tyler's.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay,
what you
so
have to
say. I was very in the mix of the controversy of Pretty Deadly, and I don't know. I was kind of keeping up with who was saying what, and I read Kelly Sue's Tumblr post about it, and ultimately, I think it's an interesting comic in the way that.
I will say
the storytelling is not linear, which makes it a little confusing for a first issue.
It is confusing.
You kind of want to warm up to who you're getting ready to buy the comic.
And there's a few art panels that don't seem really consistent. Like I didn't really understand what was going on then.
I think most of it, overall,
the art was fantastic.
It's
but
beautiful,
it's just,
but I don't think a lot of
it
makes
wasn't
sense.
Woven.
It didn't flow very well.
Right,
but it was a Western, and it kind of had. It kind of surrounds this incarnation of death in the West. It does make you think of East of West, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to draw comparisons.
Yeah.
But it's not... I feel like we're not in apocalyptic time. Well,
yeah,
not
it
as
seems
much.
Like more of
Jonathan
a
Hickman, I swear,
West.
Every Jonathan Hickman book is like, the world's going to end. Da-da!
Da-da! Aliens. But, yeah, I mean, I liked it.
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was pretty. I kind of dug where it was. It's interesting
was
enough
it
for me
deadly?
To read
it.
It was.
So
it
was
yeah.
Ha.
But yeah, there was kind of a lot of hype.
It was
hype
appealing to the eye.
Right.
Yeah, it was colored gray. Jordy Belair's colors were...
Nice. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's interesting enough to read on, but I mean, I don't understand the hype on it. That was just bad.
Don't
I mean,
believe
it's
the
definitely
hype.
Not the worst book
ever. Don't believe the hype.
That's for sure.
No, it's better than the 90s Image, and I think it has potential to eventually... It's kind of... Okay, as this... Kind of like Killjoys. I don't want to compare apples to oranges here, it's kind of like trying to reinvent the wheel a little bit, and that is kind of what maybe kind of makes it a little bit more difficult to read. It looks like it's trying to, like, the storytelling itself is trying to do something so unique.
Like, forcing itself to be different.
Except for that Killjoys has an entire, like, album and set of, like, music videos to back it up. So it really kind of is, like, reinventing the wheel in its own sense. Sure. But
if you read the back, though, that's kind of, like, your videos.
I didn't read that. I didn't want to, because after I was just like, I don't want to do it.
You didn't sell? You weren't sold on it?
I didn't. No, it's not that I wasn't sold on it.
She just didn't read the extra.
I didn't want to read the extra stuff after I heard more about it. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to be ruined on it just yet.
And this is the all female book that we're talking about here.
Yeah. Whoa.
Someone's
we just grew a little bit. We all ate our power mushrooms.
Because a lot of times Kelly Sue does kind of come off a bit pretentious and a little full of herself.
Cassie, sorry, but
I mean,
a little bit. But I don't know. Okay. We don't know her. It's cool. It's not at all. Hopefully it'll start making more sense. That's all I care about.
Right. I'll give it some reasons.
Hopefully it'll start making more sense.
But you said Killjoys this time was actually getting somewhere, right?
Yeah. They're finally doing some stuff. So that's cool since we have one
more. So they're taking over battery
systems? I was wondering, is there only one more?
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Infinity.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened.
But now that we're down to the last two, let's tie it all together.
Let's get it going.
Let's get it going,
Sarah.
Kids.
Oh, we got that going.
Yeah.
That's our Sarah Payne.
In Alaska, Killjoys finally started making sense.
In Alaska, Killjoys.
But yeah, it's cool. So finally, we now know that the little lady and the main character lady. They get in a shootout. Yeah, they get in a shootout. And if you guys want to, like, pass it around or whatever. They get in a shootout. Kolo comes to defend everybody because, of course, that one crazy teenage guy.
I hope the
agents
that Killjoys aren't dead.
Uh-oh.
It's not. I don't know, but we're not to the very ending yet. anyway, Kolo gets shot because he's trying to protect everybody because that one crazy teenage dude that's like, I'm the leader, that I'm just going to kill everybody because I don't care about stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I'm cool. Is sucking it up really bad and killing everybody. So that's great.
Oh, wow.
So Kolo comes to defend the main lady, the main chick. I forgot her name because they never really say her name too much. And then she thought she died. He sacrificed his life for her. Then the desert witch chick that everybody, like, goes to pray to, you know, shows up and fills her in, gives her some backstory. Come to find out, her mom was, like, leading the revolution back in the day.
Who's that bird-looking dude?
That's the desert witch.
That's the desert witch. Okay. Yeah. So, her mom was, like, leading the revolution back in the day. She got got captured, and they tried to indoctrinate her into Battery Set City, but she took, like, all of her rage and her hate for what was going on, and passed it down into her little seed baby in her belly. And then all of this made her little seed baby in her belly grow and become a person that's actually a bomb.
Oh, so the bad guy, the good one's actually doing things now.
Right.
Yeah, so, and then on the other side of the story there, the Portobot that escaped into the desert.
Blue? Is it Blue?
Blue. They found her. They picked her up. The Drax. Not the Drax, but the other guys that aren't the Drax. The guys that aren't, like, the dudes with the crazy mask, but they wear all white.
The Vamps?
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Vamps? Okay. The Vamps. Okay, so the Vamps find her, and they take her down, and they capture her, and then they finally go to see Destroya, which is what everybody's praying to, all the robots are praying to. And so it looks like it's just a big, giant, like, run-down robot that doesn't work in the desert.
Oh, wow.
So the whole time they're like, they're just praying to this. Yeah, they show it. They're just praying to this, and it doesn't do anything. It's just another piece of crap that doesn't work, basically. Of course, she ends up waking up in the end, and she looks like she's about to take off. And then the guy who was the mercenary who had the lava that they take him in. They're going to try to take out his emotion. Well, he overloads the system because he's had it up to here with their crap and breaks out of that mother. And was like, we're not doing this anymore. So in the end, he breaks out, she's about to break free, and we find out Little Lady is a bomb slash can power things, which is pretty convenient considering Destroya.
She's a bomb and a battery.
She's a bomb and a battery, and Destroya is just hanging out in the desert being all broken down and needs something to power.
Bam!
And then, also, she cuts off all her hair and gets a super sassy do, goes back to find her cat, which we already know is a spy.
Right.
Yeah, but she, like, doesn't want to leave it behind because she's lost everything she loves, and she's like, I love you, I'm going to give you a little hug. And she has a little piece of paper in her hand that says, boom. So they will see.
Because she says, I'm not hiding anymore.
Yeah.
She knows they're there.
Yeah, and she knows the cat. She's a bomb.
And she knows the cat.
She knows the cat, right. Yeah, because the desert witch lady spirit guy thing told her.
I gotta say, man, Becky Clinton art on this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, man,
it's
super
good.
Well, that issue should have been the first issue.
Right?
Right? I know.
What's funny is, like, okay, you know, here's the cover. This is the cover of Killjoys 5, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's an advertisement for this book in the back. Why would you advertise?
Hey, just
here's
in case
the book
you
that you
just
bought.
Just
you should buy this book that you just bought. Yeah. It's funny.
FYI.
Dude, Ash and the Army of Darkness came out.
I'm so sad. I need to read it.
Oh, it's so good. It's basically takes place after Army of Darkness. It's a continuation of that series. And so it's cool. If you've seen Army of Darkness, you should definitely just pick this up and go from there. Because it's fun stuff. It's definitely the same deal. It starts off in the S-Mart. And he gets sucked into a time stream by some deadites. And hijinks ensue. But he goes back to the land. Goes back to the you know, the medieval times or whatever, and it's been
I love that restaurant.
It's been like so many years later, and like bad guys have taken over, everything's returned, so he's gotta stop all that stuff again. So yay, Ash and the Army of Darkness.
Right.
Hellboy, Midnight Circus.
I read it.
Yes, this came out. It's the first Hellboy story here in a while, and it comes out in the hardcover.
Because Hellboy in Hell is not coming out on a regular schedule.
Hellboy in Hell 5 is next week, I think, actually.
Wow.
Whoa.
Like 4.5 months, and the fourth one came
out.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah, because I think the first one came out when we started reading that vampire-y one.
Remember?
Oh, wow. EPRD. Yeah, that one finished up and is almost in trade already.
Right.
Wow.
But this is a story when he was a kid. Well, I guess
it's a story of whenever Hellboy ran off and kind of realized why. He basically was one of those like stories as a kid where you go off and then you realize, oh, well, maybe I should listen to my parents
right.
and actually stay and go to bed.
Yeah, because the professor's doing everything he can to make sure he grows up right. And,
right. Even though his friend and colleague is like, you know, you can't have this thing grow up. You know, he's a little Hellboy. It's a creature.
He's
going to
destroy everything. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Hellboy, like, you know, everybody's treating him like a kid. And he's like, I'm not a kid, you know. And he tries to act older. And
he sees him as
so
much of an innocent, though, which at that point, that's a little bit of delusion.
Which is hard, since he's like the spawn of hell.
Right.
It's like an innocent
Hellboy.
And so he sees...
like, I'm not good.
So he sees one of the guys smoking, and that's what he considers as a man, you know, or like
so that's
a
strong
why
he develops his cigar.
So then he steals he steals
a
cigar.
Yeah.
And he lights the match on his arm. I love it. He's just like.
Yeah. But eventually, it basically, he runs away, and then it's very kind of something wicked this way comes, where there's this circus out in the middle of this forest, and it's very Pinocchio style.
They tell a story of Pinocchio,
and they do tell a story of Pinocchio, and it turns out to be basically the devil and then his niece are doing all this stuff to, you know, it's like kind of a test, you know, really overall.
Because they know who he really is,
right?
Who he's destined to be, so they're kind of. She's like, we need to get rid of him. Essentially, she's
right, and he's like, don't touch her, you know, don't touch you. She was gonna take him out right then and there, and he's like, no, you know, he stopped her from doing it, and he's like, don't you ever lay a hand on him.
Because, wait, is the devil his dad?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay, cool. Just making sure I knew that much.
But, yeah, it's a nice little tie-in, but, yeah, as soon as Hellboy 5 comes out, woot, Hellboy in Hell.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Anything else from last week you guys want to talk about? Anything?
I'll have to admit, Brian, I will say, I'm eating my words. Afterlife with Archie is one of the best comics I've read.
Right? I told you.
Oh,
man.
We almost forgot about FF.
Ah, yes, FF. Yeah, what'd you think?
Jesus.
I told you, it's fun, huh? It's great.
I've been reading. You don't have to convince
No, I mean the
I'm
new
not
one.
The one that needs.
Right.
Oh yeah, but yes, it yeah, is. Way to go.
Lee Allred.
Oh, I guess maybe you did harp on it hardcore last time. But yeah, yeah, anyway, I got caught up and I read it. Yay!
You're caught up? Like one yeah, issue or all of them?
Yeah, she's I've been caught up.
For a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess we're the only two.
Yeah. We suck. High five.
The Afterlife with Archie, though,
was great.
Oh,
the fact
man,
it was dedicated to Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's
it,
fun.
It was list. And it's Stephen King. It was on the list as well. It was a good, like...
It's all,
is it a one-shot?
Well, it's
it
a series. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be ongoing. I'm sure it's going to be like
so
a
like
mini or whatever.
Frank Villa, I'm assuming it's limited. He
yeah. Because it is... Yeah, it is Frank Villa. So the artwork and everything is very pulp, old-school
mm-hmm,
style. And it's not like, you know, your parents Archie. It's
so
set in the Archie
many
world.
Horror movie references.
But it's like a zombie apocalypse brought about by...
On prom night.
Pet Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On prom night.
Okay.
Because Jughead...
Oh, on prom night, the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Moose... Something yeah, happens. Moose runs over Hot Dog, who is Jughead's dog.
No. I need to, though.
And then... Yeah. And so what? Now Jughead finds... Hot Dog is dead, right?
Pet Cemetery.
Right. And he goes eventually...
And he goes to Sabrina and is like,
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
And she's like, I can't help you. He's already dead. You can't do anything. So she goes and talks to her aunts. Aunts like, you know...
No, don't do
it. So she goes and grabs a Necrocomicon.
Yeah.
Sabrina!
Yep.
Always get into those shenanigans.
Brings
the entire time I was like, oh, Alan Moore.
Yeah. Brings Hot Dog back to life. He starts biting people. They turn into zombies. They start biting people.
He's sick from school the next
yeah,
day, and Archie's texting him. And
it's really
yes,
fun.
So it's super good. Because
Archie's with Benny and Veronica, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And
there's a
well,
Pep Boy variant.
At the dark-haired one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Of Betty standing like in her nightgown, opening
yeah,
the door, and
a bunch
like,
of zombies.
Archie and everybody is zombies are marching in. It's pretty awesome.
How many variants were there for that?
Five, I think. There was the standard Frankavilla, then the variant Frankavilla, Sealy, Pep-Boy, and I want to say there was another one.
There was one they had to order way too many to get. There was like a 1 in 200.
Right, okay.
Which I almost, if I knew it was going to be that popular, I would have been like, I know.
So you out
yeah,
too?
Right.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
we,
yeah. I think reprints are coming soon, so, yeah. But, so this week we got some more stuff that we need to talk
dude,
about.
Dude, Drumheller, Riley Rossmo. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes, yes. I'm
yes,
excited for that one. We got some Steampunk Halloween in. Woo!
Yeah.
Green Arrow 25.
Forever Evil 3 of 7.
Batman, Superman, the flip book.
Yeah, which is Brett Booth, and it's all horizontal. It's weird.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a poster.
It's like
I
a
mean,
poster.
A calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Brett Booth. The artwork's nice.
Superman Unchained 4 is finally out.
Finally.
Dude, 10 grand, but no Temple Smith interiors.
No, that was sad. Swamp Thing 25, which is more the Child's Soul, Battle for the Green, so we're going to lead more into that.
Trillium 4.
Trillium.
I already read it.
Hinterkind number 2.
Marvel Knights Spider-Man number 2.
Yes.
Marvel Knights X-Men next week.
That's true, yeah. 68 one-shot Hollowed Ground. I had to grab the rights and cover, of course. There's
of course. I stopped reading
ones.
68 when it lost its gimmick.
But, yeah, 10 grand, issue 5, finally.
And the artwork looks good, but it's not.
It's not. It kind of takes away. I don't know. I haven't read it yet, so if it's something like it's a flashback or something, some sort of memory.
I do not believe Temple Smith will.
I don't know. But... Yeah, I don't know. We'll
Drumheller, yes.
Yes, Drumheller. Protectors, Inc., which is a new Straczynski book, so we'll see where that goes. Apparently that's going to be tying into a lot more of the Image continuity that
yeah,
they're building, so we'll see how that's about.
Fatale number 18? Man.
Oh. Grindhouse 2, Bee Vixens from Mars, part 2.
I already read that.
Yay!
Ooh, I can't wait to read that one.
The Star Wars number 3. Yes, yes, yes. East of West 7. East
Western.
Of West. Yes. And God is Dead 3. Boom, boom, boom.
Wow, we got a lot of reading to do, guys.
Did anything else you guys picked up?
I picked up my Hawkeye hardcover.
Oh, yes, Hawkeye.
So I can read some more Matt Fraction because there's just not enough in my life.
Right.
Jeez.
But what'd you guys out there in the LOL pick up this week? Let us know. What do you guys think? What have you been reading? You can email us at EmpireStrikesBooks@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can hit us up on the Facebook
yeah,
at Empire Strikes.
And we have Instagram
and
Twitter
handle. Empire_Strikes.
There are ways to be connected.
It's true. You can come by and visit, which would be the best option.
I did that today, and it was wonderful.
Yay! Oh. You can visit Empire Sharks Books at 600 Northwest 23rd Street, Suite 103.
Come to 6900 North May. Come talk to me. We'll have a good time.
At All Star Comics.
Please do.
Yeah. But yeah, so we want to hear from you guys. We ramble a lot. We'll get some input. That'd be nice. Ramble on! But
everyone, let's get the Robert Smith. Come on,
let's do it. Ready?
What did he say?
What are we doing?
Oh, I don't know.
I got more Robert Plant out of that. That's not what I got. Smith.
Yeah.
Wow. You said Smith.
Why did you say Smith? You said Robert.
It was evidence of it too.
Less cure.
He was slightly depressed at that time. Anyways, I'm Brian.
I'm embarrassed, Tyler.
Oh, it's okay. I'm Camille.
Hi, Jules. Bye, I guess.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Dippy cabbies.